Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and by Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation. I use Daylight as my case management tool. It organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, and emails all in one app that's with me on my Mac, iPhone, and iPad. I use Daylight on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases, delegate tasks to each other, and see everyone's schedule, all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools I use to stay organized and increase efficiency. Visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight for free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 54 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Neil Tyra. And guess what? Today is our birthday. Today is the one-year anniversary of the launch of The Law Entrepreneur. We are recording this episode on February 23rd, and indeed, 1 year ago today, we started The Law Entrepreneur with that introductory episode. And I was thinking here this afternoon, trying to figure out the math. How come, you know, if we're 1 year ago today, how come we're on episode 54? And I realized, well, we didn't do two episodes due to the holidays. We kept the numbering system, but didn't do two episodes. So that makes sense now. So now I understand. But anyway, we started a year ago, and I thought today we'd do two things. I want to do just a little bit of a wrap up of what it means to be doing this for a year. And then as a thank you, I'd like to give you something of value, something that I've learned along the way that hopefully you may be able to use in your own practice in the development of your own marketing strategies. So to start with, let me, of course, say thank you. And thank you for a great year of interviews with some great folks that have been kind enough to share their time with us. A couple of solo episodes that I hope didn't bore you too much. And there's a lot of lessons I learned along the way. We've learned from successful solo and small firm attorneys. People like Tom Simeone, our first guest on episode number one, my old boss. Julie Tolick on episode 30. It's a name I haven't brought up recently, but hers was a great episode. And most recently, Sean McBride in episode 50. So those were, I thought, particularly good episodes for solo practitioners, along with a whole host of others. And I don't mean to slight anybody by leaving anybody out, but those are just three that come to mind off the top of my head. We also heard from a lot of great entrepreneurs. Derek Coburn in episode 5 with Networking is Not Working. We'll hear more about that in a little bit. Tom Lambot in episode 16, Tom, of course, runs a business of IT support for Mac users. And my friend Steve Riley, attorney coach in episode 48, these were very successful entrepreneurs. And there was a lot of value provided in the interviews that they were kind enough to give us. And then we had what I like to refer to as our gadget folks or service level folks, people like Zvi Band, who was very early in the process on episode number 4. He is the CEO of Contactually, a robust contact management application that runs in the cloud. So software as a service. And Larry Port. Larry Port is with Rocket Matter. He was in episode 14. Larry's very passionate in his interview and had a lot of things to say about the legal profession to which his application, Rocket Matter, caters. And then, of course, there was my friend Amin Rahmani from Market Circle, who later became a sponsor of the show. Amin spoke at length about Daylight, the practice management tool that I use and advocate. So in terms of the types of guests that we've had on the show, they were exactly what I was looking for. Successful solo attorneys, entrepreneurs, and folks with a service that could benefit solo practitioners. The podcast would not be anywhere near successful without the assistance of a couple of people in particular, and I haven't spoken about this first gentleman very much, but Jeff Woods, I owe everything to. If you're a podcast junkie like me, you might recognize the name Jeff Woods. He originally was the host of the Mentee podcast, which is one that I listened to for a very long time as he documented his journey from 9-to-5 employee to entrepreneur. He's now turned the reins of that podcast over in season, what he's referring to as season 2, to Adam Eidson. So the Mentee podcast was something that provided a real basis for me in terms of starting this one, so much so that Jeff became my personal mentor and coach and worked with me to help bring the law entrepreneur to life. He really helped shape the purpose of the show and clarified its direction in terms of being an interview-based program and attempting to extract lessons from others who have successfully gone before us. And without his help, I would not have been able to get the show off the ground and certainly wouldn't have been able to take it to the level that it currently is, which I'm happy to say is very successful. So, Jeff, I don't think I've thanked you publicly before, but if you're listening, and I hope you are, thanks ever so much for your support. You can listen to Jeff now on his new podcast, The One Thing Podcast. He now is vice president of an organization that is promoting The One Thing and works with the authors Gary Keller and others. So you can look that up and hopefully subscribe to The One Thing and continue on with the teachings of Jeff Woods. The other guy who really makes this show as good as it can be, probably better than it should be, is Cody Boyce. And Cody runs a group called Podcast Masters. And Cody is my engineer and producer. When I get through recording an episode, I turn the files over to Cody, and he's the one who integrates it with the sound, with the music, makes all the balances correct, and so gives it a real professional quality. And for most people, that's really an important factor in podcasting. If you have poor sound quality, you're not going to be able to hold your audience. And so I owe everything to Cody for making us sound better than we have any right to. Of course, I make Cody's life miserable by giving him, you know, the files late and asking him to perform miracles, which he seems to do. So, but anyway, if you're looking for a engineer or a producer to help you get your podcast off the ground or do some sound editing for any project that you are looking for, contact Cody at Podcast Masters. Let him know you heard about it from us here on The Law Entrepreneur. Obviously, I have to thank the sponsors, Market Circle, makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding. You've heard the promo spots for them in the beginning of the show today. Both of those folks, entities, Market Circle and Spotlight Branding, have been with us almost from the very beginning, showed tremendous vision and support in our show. And I'm very grateful for them for giving us the opportunity to progress as we have under their sponsorship. So thank you to both Market Circle and Spotlight Branding for making this year very special. And last but not least, let's, I can't ignore the listeners. Without the listeners, you know, obviously I'd be just talking to myself, which I sometimes do, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as entertaining, I think, as having the opportunity to chat with all of you. As of today, we are approaching 30,000 total downloads, which is great. I'd like to double that for next year, if not do more. Most of our listeners, as you might imagine, are from the continental U.S., far and away the biggest block. But we have a large group from Canada and Germany, U.K. and Australia. We've had a couple of guests from the U.K. I haven't had anybody on yet from Australia, so I'm looking forward to try and solve that discrepancy in the future. More and more of our listeners are joining our Facebook group, as well as liking our Facebook page. So those are a couple of things. If you haven't done so and you're inclined to, hop on over to both the Facebook group and the Facebook page by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur on Facebook. You'll find us. And with that, you know, that's kind of the roundup for the year. I did kind of a similar roundup when we hit our 50th episode. So I don't want to bore you with too much of the inside baseball information, but other than say that I'm just very pleased and tickled that we've been able to do a full year's worth of The Law Entrepreneur. And looks like we're going to just keep chugging along and see where we can take this in the next year. Having said that, I'd like to give back to you something that hopefully you'll be able to use as you go forward building your solo practice. Clearly, the podcast has been a personal benefit to me. I mean, first and foremost, come on, it's free training and advice. I'm very lucky to be able to call folks up essentially on the phone and pick their brains and get advice and guidance on how to grow my own practice. And that's exactly what I've done. I started emulating my guests, their actions, their decisions, their choices, and learning from them and implementing the knowledge that I gained from these interviews. And as a result, a funny thing started to happen. My practice started to improve. I can honestly say that mostly within the last 6 months or so, I've gotten more clients, better clients. I've had a better work-life balance. And all of these things have been very satisfying. They were the kind of thing I was hoping to derive from the podcast, but frankly, to be honest with you, I didn't know whether that would be the case or not. So I'm happy to report that that is. Far from done, but it certainly is improving my situation in my own law firm. So I mentioned that just by way of an example that hopefully you're getting something similar from your commitment to listening to the show. And somebody asked me a question the other day. We were talking about being a solo practitioner, and I have my office at home. I, as you know, or may have heard in previous episodes, I have space downtown that I go to meet clients when I need to or to hang out when I'm in court. But by and large, I work from my home. And the question was asked, well, what do you do about socialization? You know, getting an opportunity to talk with other attorneys or talk with other people don't you go stir crazy in your office at home. And I mentioned that one of the things that I have done to combat that problem or that potential is I started my own networking group of attorneys and other folks. And I thought what I would do today is give you a step-by-step rundown of how I started that group, why I started it, and what it's done for my practice in terms of being a referral source for new clients. So this is the group is modeled after Cadre DC, which is a larger, more established and very successful group here in the Washington, D.C. area, which is run by Derek Coburn. As I mentioned, Derek was on the show very early, episode number 5, which you can go back and listen to if you care to. And Derek wrote a book called Networking is Not Working, and that was the basis of our interview in episode number 5. And his basic premise, and it's the premise upon which the group Cadre DC was built, is that, you know, we've all gone to networking events, which are simply kind of a meat market and, you know, a situation where you go and people run around the room and hand out their business cards and give you their elevator pitch and you leave there and nothing's come of it. And they're not very enjoyable, and they give networking a bad name. Well, Derek decided to change that, and his view was that really he wanted to create a group that built relationships first, from which business might flow secondarily. And that's the premise under which Cadre was founded. And you can read more about that and understand that better if you grab his book, which is, you know, a really easy read, but lays out the process that he went through in forming Cadre. So once I was lucky enough to be invited to join Cadre, I decided that I wanted to model that success that Derek had on a smaller scale and start my own networking group. And the reason for this is that, I mean, out of Cadre, I've had a great time and met some really phenomenal people, such as Derek. Others were Zv Band. He was on episode 3. He actually preceded Derek on the show. Zv, as we mentioned, is the CEO of Contactually. Ian Altman was on episode 24. Ian was actually the gentleman who invited me to join Cadre. And Marcus Sheraton, who was just on episode 53 last week. That might be the most impressive episode we've recorded was Marcus's episode. So the sales lion, as Marcus is known, and they're all members of Cadre. And so Cadre is really successful and I've had a great time. And it really inspired me to try and start my own networking group. So this is how we did it, step by step. The first thing I did was I went through my own contact list or Rolodex, if you will, if you're from the 80s. I went through my contact list and asked the following questions. I'm looking for people to invite to the group. The first question is this someone that I like, that I would like to hang out with or that I like hanging out with? In other words, do I like to socialize with this person? Because I didn't want to create a group just for the purposes of creating a group. I wanted to create a group of folks that whose company I enjoyed personally. And hopefully if I enjoyed their company and I wanted to hang out with them, then others would as well. So these were people that I already knew that I liked hanging out with, that were social, or I knew I wanted to hang out with them, and that they would kind of fit the model. So that was the first wicket they had to get through. And then the second question was, are they involved in a business that brings them into contact with a lot of people who might be ideal clients for me? Or are they a gateway to people that might be ideal clients for me? So some of my contacts are folks who, you know, interface at a CEO level or a high corporate level, VP type level. And those really aren't what I'm looking for in terms to build my practice. I'm looking more for the grassroots, blue collar, middle class employees. So I was looking more for people who come in contact with a lot of others who can perhaps mention my name down the road if they find that to be valuable to their potential business clients. So those were the two questions. Do I want to hang out with them? And do they interface with clients that I would like to have as my own? So once we did that, I put together an email message and personalized it for each person and sent it out asking them to join me simply for a drink to discuss a possible formation of a networking group that adheres to Derek's philosophy of networking is not working. And I invited them to join me at a local watering hole. And the carrot was that I would buy the first round. And I was lucky enough to get a dozen folks who took me up on the offer. And we all got together. And it was a great session. We had a 60-minute business session. But then the social session afterwards went well into the evening. And I knew that at least from the criteria of are these folks that I would like to hang out with, the answer was clearly yes, because we were there way too long. But the business session involved going around the table, and each person got 5 minutes. And I had my iPad mini with a countdown timer on it, so I held it up. So we made sure that everybody stuck to the 5 minutes, including because I can run at the mouth. And so I wanted to make sure we moved through these things quickly. So everybody got 5 minutes to describe who their ideal client is, what their biggest challenge is, and how might we be able to help them solve that challenge. So I think it was really important for this kind of kickoff venture after describing what I was hoping to do. Was as we went around the table, we got to know each other a little bit, understand what their ideal clients for these other businesses were, and how we might help them. And I might note that you know a few of the folks at the table are attorneys. They don't happen to practice. We have diverse practices, so nobody had the same practice area. So we had somebody who focuses in on restaurant issues. By the way, that was Sean Morris, who was a guest on our show. We had another attorney who focused on family law, and then, of course, I focus on estate planning. So, but then we had different you know, folks with different backgrounds or different occupations, a real estate agent, contractor, IT support specialist, that kind of thing. So it was really a great first gathering. And so we agreed that it was something that we wanted to move forward with. So I asked each person to think about someone to bring to our next meeting, our next gathering, that met those same two criteria. Are they fun to hang out with? And do they have access to people who would be your ideal clients or somebody else's ideal clients at the table? And so we focused then on the second gathering was again a happy hour, just because it was easier to do. So we got the second session going about a month later. Several people brought guests. So we had a larger group, and some people self-determined they weren't a fit for what we were doing going forward, and generally, there was a consensus about everybody else, so that was really good. And then we moved on to our third gathering. Our third gathering, we had a couple of folks who said, listen, I can't always make it to a happy hour or an after-work event. I got kids at home, soccer practice, lacrosse practice. So we decided to do a lunch and learn, a daytime event. So one of my cadre friends, Ingar Grev, gave a very informative presentation to our group on how to use LinkedIn in your business, how to grow your contact base and develop referral sources using LinkedIn. And that was spectacular. So this was taking the group to the next kind of step. We were scheduled to do a whiskey tasting, but one of our members got access to a Sky Suite at the Verizon Center for a Washington Wizards game on that same night, invited us all up there. So we quickly pivoted and went and watched the basketball game and hung out and schmoozed and did some business. And we were off and running as a group. I'm happy to tell you that we've adopted a name. We are called the Senpai Networking Group. Senpai is a Japanese word, and it kind of harkens back to my martial arts days as a martial arts instructor. Senpai means senior or upperclassman, or I think technically it's one who goes before. So kind of a leadership thought in terms of networking and just catchy name. So we kind of adopted the name Senpai Networking Group. We have planned out events for the next upcoming few months, started a Facebook group, a mailing list and a Facebook group, and we're now reaching out to recruit some new members and kind of expand our efforts here. So it's been a lot of fun, obviously. I mean, a couple of happy hours, lunchtime, lunch and learn, and basketball game. And what I have seen is the members of the group interacting, meeting, side meetings, a couple of lunches have occurred, and business is being done between the members of the group. And first and foremost, people got to know each other and really got to enjoy each other's company. And I think that's really key to forming a networking group. So in response to the question, what do you do for socialization as a solo? I think what we've done here is combined the social aspects of getting together with other folks and getting out of the office and mingling in the community with this networking is not working approach to developing business referral sources. And it's been really good. I can tell you that personally, my firm has realized new clients as a result of the relationships formed in this group. And I know for a fact that others in the group have developed business associations and have done some actual real transactions with other members of the group. So it's well on our way. So those are the steps that I took. You know, your mileage may vary. You may have a different approach or a different objective. But if you're thinking about starting a networking group, I think it was pretty simple. It didn't cost me, but I guess the first round of drinks were on me. So a dozen drinks, dozen beers or so. Beyond that, you know, I haven't paid anything out of pocket. And I now have, you know, 24 folks here who are meeting on a regular basis and doing some fun things and helping drive business in each other's direction. And it's been really, really good. So I hope to continue to do this and expand it and kind of refine it. And I'll keep you posted along the way. So if you want to chat about how to do this on your own, drop me a line. You can email me at neil@thelawentrepreneur. I want to thank you again for being with us and thank all of our listeners who have been with us for the whole year. And we have some great guests coming up, and I hope you stick with us here at The Law Entrepreneur. You can listen to us on iTunes or go to our website, thelawentrepreneur.com. Listen to our episodes there. Feel free to join us on our Facebook group and just search for us on Facebook. Facebook is just Law Entrepreneur. It's not, you drop the. So just search Law Entrepreneur on Facebook and you'll find us. And we'll be happy to bring you into the fold, into the clubhouse, so to speak. And hopefully we can help you have some success in growing your firm. So once again, thanks ever so much for being a part of our show. And we'll see you next week on The Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.